But here she could not pretend to be ill in her defense. I knew that my sister was no longer ill. She had given up her sick body, only her soul was sick. Nevertheless, she complained that her tiredness had not left her. It was still the same as before, and that was why she could not work. My spiritual guide had already informed me of this. I also knew how to answer her. I said to her, "You are no longer tired, that is not true, only your soul is still sick. You have given up your sick body, but the vices that are in your soul are what are causing this tiredness in you. If you make an effort to get rid of these vices, then this tiredness will also disappear." As she still tried to turn away from me and kept emphasizing that I would not be looking after her for long, I began to speak to her very forcefully. I took her by the hand and forced her to get up, because she was still sitting on the floor. I ran my hand through her hair and said that it was very untidy and that someone who looked as untidy as she did would repel everyone else. It was her own fault. Her clothing was also neglected. I pointed to her feet. She was only wearing one shoe. I asked her, "Where are the other shoe?" She replied that she had lost it once in the crowd and had already tried to get a new pair. But no one would help her. She began to lament the condition of all those who had to live like her. She said, "If I lived a poor life on earth, there would have been people who would at least give you their worn-out shoes. But here you don't even get that. Nobody cares about you here." She also said, "When I think back, you still had the opportunity to have shoes made or to buy them. But where do you find someone here who makes or sells shoes?" I answered her that on earth you had money for that, but that there is no money in this world. But a lot of blood is tied to people's money. "You can get shoes," I said, "if you start working, and you can also get other clothes." But she replied that she couldn't work because she was so tired. I then declared myself willing to pray with her and to ask the Heavenly Father to give her the strength to move forward so that she could adopt a different attitude, as this would also help her to get rid of her tiredness. But she refused. "I have already prayed a lot and nothing has helped me." I did not let me up and continued to talk to her. I also declared myself willing to pray with her. But she asked me to leave her alone. She would find her own way. But she immediately complained about her parents again, saying that they never looked after her, just like her husband, who only came to visit her very rarely. Nobody could help her. I should leave her alone and go back to the good people. I replied, "Fine, I'm going, but I'll be back. I will come as often as I need until I have got you to the point where you start working and are ready to join the divine order." I said goodbye to her again. But she asked me before she let me go, "How did you come to look so noble? You will probably live in a very noble world in a beautiful house, and you will have servants." Then I told her why I looked so much better than her and where I lived. I said, "It was your children who helped me to achieve this spiritual wealth. It was through your children that I achieved spiritual wealth. Since they gave me the opportunity to acquire this wealth, I feel obliged to give you my support and to get you out of this disorder." Now she began to take an interest in her children and how they were doing. For up to now she had not cared about their well-being in the world beyond. She was and remained indifferent. I told her about them and promised to return one day to where her children still lived. I also told her that she would first have to look different if she wanted to accompany me. She then promised me that she would find out how she could look better. She told me that she would try to borrow clothes and shoes from her neighbors so that she could look a little better the next time we met. I talked her out of it, saying that it would not help her, that it would not help me either, because she herself had to acquire everything that was done to improve herself. Then I said goodbye, but promised to come back very soon. I returned to my heavenly village. I was very sad to have a sister who was so indifferent and who was at such a low level. My spirit friend gave me advice. He said, "You must go back to her very soon and ask her to work. You must ensure that she has a different relationship with her fellow brothers and sisters. She should overcome her talkativeness and instead become useful, help the others." The angel gave me some advice, saying, "When you go again, stay with her for a while and share her fate. Then take her by the arm around her village. That way you will soon see what needs to be improved. You can therefore see what is right with her, as with others." So I went back to my sister very soon. She had not changed in the meantime. She still did not have proper shoes and her hair was as unkempt as her clothes. I took her by the hand and led her through her village, as I had been advised to do. It was a sad sight for me to see the same indifferent people everywhere. They thought everything was fine as it was. They had no desire for a more beautiful world, for a better appearance. They even felt happy in their own way, in this state. Now I had to teach my sister that she could not stay in this place, that she had to ascend step by step to a better world. I had to teach her to only care for her neighbor here to the extent that she could help him. There were siblings who complained of pain like her. It was pain that their earthly body had caused them, because they had retained this pain in their soul and taken it with them into the afterlife. They still felt it as if it were in their earthly clothes. So I told my sister, "You have laid aside your earthly body and can no longer have pain or tiredness of this kind. You can buy new clothes and a better appearance through hard work. You must understand that this indifferent life must come to an end and that you must put yourself at the service of your neighbor. You must begin to serve and work. If you have the will to do so, you will make progress." I visited her several times and had to be very patient until my sister agreed to do something. She did not know what kind of spiritual activity she should do. I said to her, "We will both go to your neighbors and cheer them up. We will tell them that they no longer have any pain and that they must take care of order and a better appearance. They should offer hope and comfort to others and not complain and moan or tell each other things that are completely pointless." Now she had finally agreed to do it. We went from one neighbor to another. It was, however, a laborious undertaking, because at first no one wanted to take us seriously. They did show me a certain amount of respect, but they saw my sister as one of their own. They could not understand that she was suddenly speaking to them with words of comfort. Nevertheless, we managed to get people to listen to us as we went from one house to another, telling them that they were only living there temporarily, but that they should ask God for the strength to understand so that they could move forward. So, very slowly, we had achieved something. My sister no longer complained of being tired. Suddenly she found it interesting to give words of comfort to others. She began to enjoy this activity. I then promised her new shoes if she continued to be so active. When I later brought her new shoes, she was very happy. Since she was known among the others and was only ever seen wearing one shoe, everyone admired her. They asked her, "Where did you get these shoes? You can't get them anywhere here." All the others wanted some too, because theirs were worn, full of holes and very unkempt, just like her whole appearance. Then the sister pointed to me and said that I had brought them to her. Now I was besieged and had to explain it to them. I said that everything that one carries on one's spiritual body must be earned, one must work for heaven, then heaven would also give one the necessary clothing. I told them that all of this could only be earned with virtues, with helpfulness, with service. Anyone who puts himself in the service of God will also receive the corresponding reward from God. By reward is to be understood primarily the need find necessary thing you wear on your body. They were amazed, but then agreed to help. They also became happy and interested. They encouraged each other and promised not to talk about the old anymore and only to look forward. They then got together regularly to pray together, to glorify God and to ask Him for strength. But there was still a lot of work for us, even though some of them joined us. For there was a lot of disorder in this village and this disorder had to be cleared away. Everyone was to be assigned a job. My sister now began to admire my appearance. She asked me to give her some of my clothes. For I deliberately changed clothes as often as possible in order to arouse in her a certain vanity or rather the desire to look like me. But to my sister, who admired me so much, I had to say again and again, "All that I have acquired through my devotion, through my willingness to sacrifice for your children. So I managed to get her a new dress too. I asked my exalted friend to give me a somewhat more attractive dress for her, and he complied with my wish. I then brought it to my sister, and her old dress was destroyed along with that shoe. So my sister suddenly had a better appearance. She had also started to care for her hair, and she noticed that it was no longer so shaggy and had even acquired a shine. At the same time, her face had also changed for the better. Her hands were no longer so rough and their shape was getting better and better. Her whole figure improved. I was very happy about it myself. Now she was grateful to me for all of this. But now it was her wish that her parents would visit her so that they could see what progress she had made. I myself fetched our parents, and we were all happy about her progress. We then went down to Earth together to visit the children. My sister felt the desire to be able to help her children. She now wanted to stand up for her relatives with love and with the strength she had. I taught her how to help people. So my sister became more and more eager to help. She helped her own people on Earth as well as those in the spiritual world. And so my sister was able to ascend step by step. When the time came for her own children to go to the afterlife, she no longer had to be ashamed. She could now offer her services to her own children. So we were all happy together. I was able to lead my sister upward step by step. But she had not yet reached my level, nor had my parents. For I had the joy of entering such a beautiful world that offered me so much wealth for all that I had accomplished in my human life, while my sister, my parents and other relatives were now being told that they had the opportunity to advance a few steps further in the world of God, but that then the time would come for a new life on Earth in which they would have to prove that they could keep up with their spiritual ascent. Yes. The new human life should offer them the opportunity to accelerate this spiritual ascent, and that should be the most important thing. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my spiritual gains, how I acquired them, and about my life in the world of God. At the same time, I explained to you the work I had to do to speed up the ascent of my biological sister, in order to finally bring together the whole family of the past, where they vow to help each other in a human life. And all of this in the name of Christ. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I am returning to my world. As time has advanced, our spirit brother Joseph is no longer speaking. Dear brothers and sisters, God bless you, God protect you. God bless you. Experience report of the ascending spirit being regular by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, first published in the magazine Geisteswelt. Headline, next case, November 3, 1963. Mary and Arnold, common development path of two dual beings, from life to life, from stage to stage. Joseph, God bless you. It is me, dear brothers and sisters, Joseph. I must speak this evening about two souls and about what happened to them. Footnote, the listeners had, as was usual on the first Wednesday evening of the month, expected an experience report from an ascending spirit being. For once, however, the familiar spirit teacher Joseph had won. Hence his note right at the beginning. Footnote end. Two souls had entered the spiritual world who had already been closely connected during their lifetime. They lived as man and woman. First the woman returned from the last life, then the man. But I must not only touch on and explain the last life, but I must also explain the life before last. These two lived together as siblings. We want to give them both a name and keep it even into the next life. The name is only for you. That was the name of the sister Maria and the brother Arnold. There was a family with a bunch of children. Maria was the eldest, Arnold the youngest. Arnold was handicapped and had crippled feet. He was loved by all the siblings because he was the youngest. And the eldest sister loved this youngest brother especially. She had always taken special care of him. They had a close, intimate relationship with each other. When their parents died, Maria took this youngest brother in. They both remained unmarried. At that time it was difficult to get work. People lived on odd jobs, life was very poor. They had no special demands on life, they were content to have more or less enough to eat. So the sister had to provide for her disabled brother's daily bread. But it was not a burden for her, because she felt great love for her brother. The bond of togetherness was tight. Now the time had come for these two to say goodbye to this world. They had not burdened themselves in any particular way, because life was not as hectic as it is today for humanity. There were also not so many opportunities to tempt one another, not like today, when people are offered even more opportunities. But everything was moving towards its slow rise, and so it was with these two. They too climbed the ladder of ascension. The disabled brother died first. He asked the heavenly world to give his sister a great reward for her sacrifice, because she had done so much good for him. The angelic world, which took care of him, explained to him that he had now paid off the last part of a debt in his earthly life through the hardships he had experienced, since he had been disabled. Thanks to the special connection with this sister, who was now his biological sister in life, he had been spared even greater unpleasantness. This friendship, this love, which connected the two in their human life, stemmed from an old spiritual friendship. They had not always met or found each other, but for that life the divine world had arranged it so that they should become siblings and that this Mary could care for her youngest brother. It was therefore the light of grace that was given to this soul by the divine world. For you, with your lives today, can hardly imagine the conditions of that time. Now this Arnold, when he was the first to enter the divine world, had begged that his sister would be given a great reward. She had behaved like an angel in his life. And the heavenly beings said, "Yes, for you she was an angel, but her life was not always the way an angel lives. So she had also made her mistakes, she had also stumbled. But she had also done good by expressing this great willingness to help and this love for her sick and disabled brother. This was also credited to her. And when she too returned to the world beyond, her brother came to meet her. He was no longer disabled. He could walk upright, and so he received his sister. And when he was received, he begged these high spirits to show his sister grace and mercy, because she had done so much for him. And the divine world also credited her with the work she had accomplished in her life. At first they were left together in their purification. Later they were separated, because each fulfilled a task in a different area. But that does not mean that they were no longer allowed to see each other. They had the opportunity to meet each other, to talk to each other. So they had been brothers and sisters back then, in their penultimate life. But they had already met in a previous life, and they had always maintained their friendship in the spiritual world. They had not only shown each other friendship, but one had always stood up for the other when it was necessary. Well, that was how they had been. I was also able to meet occasionally, and the bond of solidarity remained. When it was then explained to them that it was time for a new life on earth, because only in a new life on earth could one prove that one was capable of coming closer to God, because life on earth offered more opportunity to express virtues and to work for God and His world, the two of them expressed the wish that they would be able to be together again in their next life. And they expressed the wish that they could live together as married couples. This wish was granted. Now I would like to go back to the time when those two lived in this world. They had found each other again, they were born in the same village, had grown up together, and so they had found their way to each other and entered into this marriage. The spiritual world had arranged this, because it was written in their life plan that it should come true. The spirit world watched over the fulfillment of this, because a task had been set for the two of them. They were to go through life together and share joy and sorrow. But now I must come back once again, to the time before their incarnation. When the two of them expressed their wish to be allowed to live together as married couples, it was explained to them, "When you enter the new life, it will not be easy for you. For wars will come and there will be much worry, much need and hunger." This was explained not only to these two spirits, but to all those who were being prepared for their new life on earth at that time, that they would not find this world in peace, but they would have to go through these ladders, and so they were now destined to be born in this time. And then the First World War came, and they were led into that time. The man had to go to war, whereas before he had managed to get by with his wife. He was a journeyman for a blacksmith, his wife worked occasionally, did laundry work, so they managed to make ends meet. But they lived together as happy, contented people. For here was a spiritual bond, one lived for the other, for this friendship had lasted for many centuries. Now they were to be able to live together as husband and wife. But this happiness did not last long. Then came the war, and the man was drafted. The woman stayed behind and had to suffer hunger. She heard little from her husband. But when the war was over, her husband was able to return. But he was no longer the same man as before, he had become a different person. He was neglected, both externally and internally. This war had badly damaged him spiritually, in the depths of his soul. He had also become ill. So he came home, and his happiness was soon clouded. This Maria tried to understand her husband, but she was so sorry to see how he had degenerated. He had given himself over to drink, he couldn't find any work. She had to pay for his daily bread, and it was very meager. And when this man could, he took the last of his money and drank it away. He had lost his way, he was ill and felt that no one could help him anymore, because he had lung disease. So the two of them lived on. And there was a great dying, Spanish flu, the woman became ill and she died in the great dying of that time. And the man was left behind in his misery, alone. So he became completely degenerate. But he became so ill, and he was not to live much longer. When this Mary entered the spiritual world, she expressed the wish to the angels that her husband would also be called home. At first she was not yet aware of what had brought them together, what a close bond they had. She herself had fallen into distress, her thoughts remained with her husband and kept drawing her back to the war, to that distress. And at first she could not find her way in this new world. But the spirits of God took care of her, like all those who came home at that time. Many arrived in the spirit world, they were desperate. There were young mothers who had to leave their children, there were young fathers. And the inner, spiritual distress found expression in the spiritual realm. But the spiritual world had summoned its missionary spirits, they had to comfort. There were many who could not find their way, many soldiers. They had to be comforted. Many were still clinging to some object on this earth. They were on the battlefields and did not want to leave them, because they thought that they were still alive. The missionary spirits had a lot to do at that time. So they had to convince these souls that they had died for the world, that they would be taken care of in a new, eternal world, in eternity. So these souls had to be brought together. Spheres had been specially designated for this purpose, and there was a lively activity of missionary and help spirits there. In many places at that time, comfort was needed so that these desperate souls could catch themselves and were ready to pursue a task. They had to familiarize themselves with the new world they had come into. And many spirits, those who were themselves on the ascension, but who lived in the order of God, had declared themselves willing to guide these suffering brothers and sisters. They were taken to the relatives who had remained behind on earth to show them that life was moving forward for them too and that good-hearted people were taking care of them, that the children were being cared for as best as possible, help was being given from here and there as best as possible, they were to see this with their own eyes. And for some it was a consolation, and so they settled into the new life and accepted themselves. It was the same with this sister who had come home, she had also declared herself ready to stand up for her husband. But now the spiritual world of God intervened and said, "You two are no longer on the same level after the life you have lived. This war has brought so much misery to people, and so we must be concerned that something is created out of this misery that leads to progress and salvation." So in the spiritual world they had examined all this and had called on brothers and sisters to become active in the spiritual realm, to help and put themselves at the service of the other, they should go down to the people and support them and try to lead them out of their misery. These spirits did it as best they could, under the guidance of a higher being. But those who now wanted to try to offer comfort, to alleviate suffering, to create something better, were not alone. The spirits from the kingdom of Lucifer came in large numbers and took control of those people who lived in discontent. For after this war had ended, there had been no peace. The powers of darkness found the opportunity to use those insecure, desperate and weakened people as tools, and they had already drawn up their plans. So they diligently went to work and chose their tools and inspired them so that this ascension could not be accelerated as the spirit world of God had intended. For those dark powers knew what right they had and they made use of it. And so they wanted to become rulers. They wanted to prove that people were not so advanced in their inner being, in their spiritual development, that they could overcome so much evil. And they wanted to prove how weak people were and how quickly they could be persuaded. The art of persuasion is paramount for these lower beings. They are great artists at deceiving and convincing. So they went to work and they knew how to do it in order to create new misery and new worries. But we will not talk about that anymore, but rather about how things went for the two of them. Maria was able to ascend because she had not burdened herself particularly in her last life. Her life had ended early in this great death. But she wanted to put herself in the service of her neighbor, and this was especially true when she knew what bond she and her former life partner were bound together. But all of this was only revealed to her when she was ready to work according to the goals and wishes of the higher spiritual world. Because there was a lot that had to be achieved. Those others who crossed over into the spiritual world in such despair had to be looked after. So the higher world had called upon Mary and these brothers and sisters and explained to them, "You can now earn merits to a greater extent if you take care of these desperate people." For they had a better understanding of those who had only recently entered the world of God. They themselves had lived as human beings, felt the hardship and known the problems, and so they could tell them that they had also gone through difficult times, and they listened to their comforting brothers and sisters. And so this Mary had fulfilled her task, so that an angel of God revealed to her the bond that held her and her former life companion. Now she wanted to pray for him, she wanted to help him and make his path of ascent easier. For after the previous life it was he, her former brother, who had prayed for her that the higher world would reward her for everything she had done for him. Now it was the other way round. Now she asked God to but let his mercy prevail and not hold him accountable for the guilt as he deserved, for many had been drawn into the abyss, they had lost themselves. They no longer had the opportunity to think as they had before the war, they had experienced too much disaster, had had to witness too much death and had lost the ground beneath their feet. Now, God's world wanted to take all this into account. It did not want to hold this guilt to the same extent on the individual soldiers. Instead, those who had caused that war should be held accountable. The soldiers were to be given God's mercy, but the others did not receive it. So these brothers and sisters who had returned home, who were in such distress and straits, were allowed to be comforted by the heavenly beings and were allowed to find shelter, while the others who were to blame for the war were cast out, and are still cast out to this day. So this Mary had found her task especially with her former husband. She had begged the Holy Spirit world and had carried out work accordingly. She was then given permission to live with her former husband, that meant that she could share the time of purification with him and thus she could support him and thereby accelerate his ascent. When the spirit world intervened and Mary had to leave him again for a time, it was because he had to prove with his own strength that he was able to carry out his tasks on his own, and that it was not only due to this great support that was given to him. He had to show that he himself was capable of fulfilling his task in all respects, because the free will of the spirit had to be expressed without influence from the other. So this Mary had to leave her former husband alone from time to time. But she was happy when she was allowed to visit him again and when they were able to fulfill the tasks together. So later these two were left together. Mary had shared the purification with him of her own free will. She herself would not have had to go through such a difficult purification, but she shared this fate with him in order to support him later, and that means, In later times, when the greatest distress was over and he had been given relief, they should be together again. So this sister had tried to give her love back to him,